Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 10, Verse Number 10. 10, 10, 10. Deva sam jitam apyante. Krimi vid bhashma sam jitam. Bhuta druk tat krite swartam. Kim veda nirano niruyo yitaha. Deva samgitam. The body known as a very exalted person. Like president, minister, even demigod. Api. Even if the body is so exalted. Ante. After death. Krimi. Turns into worms. Vit. Or into stool. Bhasma samgitam. Or into ashes. Bhutodruk. Person who does not accept the shastra conjunctions and is unnecessarily envious of other living entities. Tat krite. By acting in that way. Swartam. Self-interest. Kim. Who is there? Veda. Who knows? Niraya yataha. Because from such sinful activities, one must suffer hellish conditions. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. While living, one may be proud of one's body, think oneself a very big man, minister, president, or even demigod. But whoever one may be, after death, this body will turn into worms, into stool, or into ashes. One kills poor animals to satisfy the temporary whims of this body. One does not know that he will suffer in his next birth. For such a sinful miscreant must go to hell and suffer the results of his actions. Purport. In this verse, the three words, krimi, vid, bhasma, are significant. After death, the body may become krimi, which means worms. If the body is disposed of without cremation, it may be eaten by worms, or else it may be eaten by animals like hogs and vultures and be turned into stool. Those who are more civilized burn the dead body, and thus it becomes ashes. Bhasma samgitam. Yet although the body will be turned into worms or stool or ashes, foolish persons, just to maintain it, commit many sinful activities. This is certainly regrettable. The human form of body is actually meant for jivasya tattva gyagnasa, enlightenment and knowledge of spiritual values. Therefore, one must seek shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Tasmat gurum prapadyeta. One must approach a guru. Who is the guru? Shabda pare chanishnatam. A guru is one who is full knowledge of transcendental, has full transcendental knowledge. And that's when approaches a spiritual master, one remains in ignorance. Acharyavan Purusham Veda. Chagodya Upanishad. Chandoga Upanishad. One has full knowledge about life when one is acharyavan, controlled by the acharya. But when one is conducted by rajagun and tamagun, one does not care about anything. Instead, one acts like an ordinary foolish animal, risking his life. Mrityu samsara vartmani. And therefore, continuing to go through suffering after suffering. Ite vidu swarkatitim hi Vishnu. The Bhagavatam 7.5.31. Such a foolish person does not know how to elevate himself in this body. Instead, he indulges in sinful activities and goes deeper and deeper into hellish life. While living, one may be proud of one's body, thinking oneself a very big man, minister, president, or even demigod. But whatever one may be after death, the body will be turned into worms, into stool, or into ashes. One kills poor animals to satisfy the temporary whims of this body. One does not know that he will suffer in his next birth. For such a sinful miscreant must go to hell and suffer the results of his actions. There are two parts here in this particular purport. One is that we're responsible for whatever our actions are, and especially if one is going to commit gross sinful activities such as killing animals, one is sure to go down to the lower regions of existence, even to hellish conditions of life. The other is to understand this properly, we need the help of a guru, such as we're taking shelter here of Srila Prabhupada, his purport. Because if we didn't have Srila Prabhupada's purports, who would accept someone, if I said, if you kill animals, you're going to hell, who will accept it? No one's going to accept it. But in Prabhupada's purports, who's going to accept it? Those who are following Prabhupada's instructions will accept it. To some degree, at least officially, or with some degree of faith, we're obliged to accept it. And if we want to see how much we accept it, then we have to examine our experience in Krishna consciousness, and we have to examine how we follow, how we've seen what Prabhupada said in his other instructions, how we followed it, and what was our experience. Now, we haven't heard very much, we can't follow very much. And we haven't followed very much, we won't have very much experience. And therefore, it won't be immediately, at least, accepted what's being said here. Although, everyone who's here undoubtedly had heard something and had followed something and had some experience, so there's some degree of acceptance. Maybe not full acceptance, but some degree of acceptance. Therefore, it's very unlikely that after the class, anyone will decide not to go down to take prasadam, or will go to the nearest McDonald's restaurant to get a hamburger. Thinking, I don't believe any of this. That we have enough experience that this, we take prasadam every day. 3 times a day. Or more. The second thing is who's actually a bona fide guru, that this is always a question in ISKCON, who's actually a charivan. What does it mean, full transcendental knowledge? And what does that have to do with our present system within ISKCON of guru? Have we already solved everything and everything's all right? So the first thing is that in the material world, everyone, the basic principle of material existence is ignorance. And then there's some passion, but if the passion is not dovetailed with goodness, with knowledge, then one finds himself into working in ignorance and going down to the lowest species of life. So passion, energy is good if it's utilized in Krishna service. But it's very bad when there's no knowledge, there's no either Vedic knowledge or spiritual knowledge, then it's very bad because that passion will degrade one. Therefore, in the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about the divine and the demoniac. And he praises the divine qualities that are supposed to be cultivated, Abhayam, Sattva, Samshudhira, Jnana, Yoga, Vyavastiti, which culminate in fearlessness, purification of one's existence, and the cultivation of spiritual knowledge. All Vedic activities and all Vedic knowledge culminate in fearlessness, in realization, ultimately, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Because even if we realize we're not this body, it's still a fearful situation. To think that I'm not this body and not to know about Krishna means that what is our next destination? At best, we merge into the Brahma Jyoti. But who's going to look forward to merging into the Brahma Jyoti? I think if we actually had experience of the Brahma Jyoti, we'd find it quite pleasant for a little while, but it wouldn't be, as a final destination, it's not very encouraging. We're going to give up everything in the material world, wind up in the spiritual world, we'll own nothing, we'll be happy. Yes, we'll own nothing in the spiritual world. And there's a degree of happiness from owning nothing, but because there's not full knowledge, it's still a fearful state of existence. Abhayam sattva samshudira. Sattva means pure. In other words, when one is free from anxiety, as Krishna advises in Bhagavad Gita, masuchaha, when there's no more anxiety, then there is a kind of acceptance. Now, because of our anxiety, because we don't know what's going on, because we haven't accepted Krishna fully, that he's actually the controller of everything, therefore there's a kind of anxiety about what is our situation, will the earth hold me up, will there be an earthquake, will there be enough air in the room for everyone to breathe. So much anxiety, so many reasons to be in anxiety. Therefore, we can't relax. We're always in tension. And therefore, because we can't relax, we can't really love deeply anything. We can't meditate upon Krishna very deeply because we're always fearful what's going to happen next. What's actually going on? Is Krishna really... Should I really meditate on Krishna? If I meditate upon Krishna, then I won't be alert. Maybe some mosquito will come from nowhere and bite me and kill me, even though it's winter. So much anxiety. The mind can invent so many reasons to be in anxiety, and so many reasons why not we shouldn't think about Krishna, because we have to be on alert to all the possible things that may happen. And therefore, how can I concentrate on Krishna? I have to think about what happened in the past, and considering that, what might happen in the future. And jnana yoga, because we lack real knowledge. We think we have knowledge, we've studied so many different things, and we think we know something. And therefore real knowledge of Krishna and relationship to Krishna and ourselves is not really, it's understood to some degree, but not really fully accepted, because we rely upon other knowledge also. We still have faith in other leaders, and the knowledge that they're giving us. So then Krishna explains about all the different aspects of knowledge, of qualities that lead up to these three things. Jnana, yoga, vyavastiti. Abhayam, sattva, samshudira. Jnana, yoga, vyavastiti. These are the knowledge of a sannyasi, and a sannyasi, devotees are supposed to be sannyasis. They've renounced the material world and they've accepted the spiritual world. That's the sannyas. Nashitya karma phalam karya karma karotiya. Sannyasichi yogicha niniragnirna chakriya. One who is unattached to the results of his work and works as obligated is the renouncer of life. He is a true mystic, and he will not he who lights no fire and performs no work. So that's the consciousness of an actual sannyasi. That's supposed to be the consciousness of a devotee. By accepting Krishna and our relationship with Krishna fully, that Krishna is the controller, we're his servants, and we should try to please him by our activities. By accepting that, then naturally we can think about Krishna. But when we're in anxiety about who's actually belong, what these things belong to, what my body belongs to, for instance, if I think I'm this body as mentioned here, and therefore I have so many things to protect, I have to develop so much power, so much influence in order to protect me and my things, Therefore, it culminates, the more one becomes absorbed in such consciousness, the more there's an absence of spiritual consciousness, then there'll be illicit sex, there'll be intoxication, there'll be gambling, speculation, and ultimately here we fall into meat eating, killing animals. Is the darkest of ignorance. Not only killing animals to eat them, but even killing animals just to sport. And what to speak of killing animals, even killing people for sport. That's why things like in the modern world, in the Western world for some time, I mean, they talk about the gladiators in the Colosseum, or boxing matches, or football games. It's all legal, upfront sports where people are just trying to destroy the other person in some way or another, psychologically, mentally, or even physically. So the more the society dives into ignorance, then the more these things become normalized. Until we have the gladiators in the Colosseum throwing the Christians or the devotees to the lions. At least if the devotees are thrown to the lions, the lion gets some prashadam. Someone's benefited. So these are all qualities of the mode of ignorance. And therefore Krishna says, if we don't follow these qualities, then dambo dharpa bhimascha krodha parusham evacha agana abhijatasya partha sampadam asrim, then all the bad qualities develop. By association with the mode of ignorance, then all these things, harshness, anger, dumbo, pride is mentioned here. Killing animals and eating them and killing people, controlling them by wealth or other means. Getting it, like nowadays, the ideal body is some kind of huge body for a man with muscles that everyone looks at and becomes afraid of. Or even women are the same thing. They go to the gym and they try to develop these big muscles to protect themselves against the big man with all his big muscles, because no one trusts anyone. And even they have to go send the dog to get training so he can get big muscles and big growl and sharpen his teeth. So a very fearful state, because people are in ignorance. Abhayam oza. Vayam dvitiya bhane veshitasyat isharapatasya viparyos miti. Because they've turned their face away from Krishna in every aspect, up into the point of killing animals and killing babies, killing old people, killing other people, destroying whole nations nowadays. Therefore they're always fearful. They can never be peaceful. They're always fearful, because they don't follow any injunctions. Therefore, Krishna was asrim. Now I'll tell you about the demoniac, Krishna says. I've told you about the devotees, about the divine. Now I'm going to tell you about the demoniac. Because people don't like the word demoniac. The word is actually sura, which seems a little bit nicer, but especially the demoniac don't hear that. They don't like to be criticized, to be heard that they're demoniac. Dvo bhuta sargo loka ismin daivam asrim evacha asrim part dvo imo purusho loke, that's wrong. Dvo bhuta sargo loke smin daivam asrim evacha daivam vishvarasak prokta asrim parthameshinu. I've already told you about the divine, now let me tell you about the demoniac. Pravitim jana vritim cha jana navidu asura nisocham napichacharona satyam teshu vidyate. The demoniac don't know what's to be done and what's not to be done. Now people are convinced they know what's to be done, but for what purpose? Everyone is doing everything for happiness, but therefore what they're doing, they don't really know what they're doing, because what they're doing will not give happiness. It will actually cause more misery for them and everyone else. So, Pravitim Chana Vritim Jana Navidur Asura. So, the divine act don't know that there's, they don't really know that they're not their body. If they claim that, how can you accuse us of being ignorant? Well, we just say, well, your body's changing all the time, but you're not changing. So you don't even know you're eternal. So you're completely in ignorance. And if they want to argue with us, then better to walk away, because it's hard to, just like if you tell a dog, your body's changing, but you yourself within your body is not changing, then why will he bite you? Because if he was a different soul, and it's different from moment to moment, he wouldn't have heard what you said. But the same soul is there, so even the dog gets angry when he hears it. Or he may not get angry because he doesn't know what you're talking about. But a human being, they may not know what you're talking about either. They may not get angry. And those who have some knowledge know what you're talking about, become very, their ego, false ego, will even try to deny their eternal existence even harder, even with more conviction, so they don't actually have to surrender to Krishna. So they don't know what's to be done, they don't know what's not to be done, neither cleanliness, and therefore people have no value for either mental cleanliness or physical cleanliness, and neither truthfulness. Their leaders are all liars, as we've said many times. If you want to know if a politician is telling a lie, everyone knows how to do that. Does anyone know how to tell when a politician is telling a lie? Yes.
You open the mouth.
Yes, he starts to speak. That's how you know a politician is telling a lie. So there's no truthfulness because there's no foundation for truthfulness. Everyone is denying that they're Krishna's servant in this material world. They're even denying that they're eternal, and that their interest is in eternality, not temporality. And therefore, nasocham napichacha nasatyam teshu vidyate. They don't know what's to be done, what's not to be done. Neither cleanliness nor truthfulness nor proper behavior is found in them. So as society enters deeper into ignorance, then it becomes more and more, people become more and more degraded, especially in their relationships with each other. And what's the whole basis? Asatyam apratishtam te jagarahur anishram aparashpram sambhutyam kimanyat kama haitukam. They say the world's unreal. It has no foundation. It has no God in control. It's produced of sex desire. It has no other cause than lust. So they think everything, it doesn't really matter what they do because it's all unreal. They're claiming everything came about by chance. But the people who are claiming like that, they don't leave anything to chance. They make very elaborate plans for their sense gratification. They're always scheming how to make money, how to get ahead in the material world, how to kill their enemies. They're making so many plans, but they say everything came about by chance. So why do they have to try so hard if everything's just by chance? With all their, if they have intelligence and they have to make so many plans to have something accomplished, how did the material world come about, which is a much better plan than they could ever conceive of, by accident? Do you know any professor at university got his PhD by chance? He was sitting at home, and by chance the PhD appeared. You know, anyway. Yet they go to the university and declare everything came about by accident. Does that mean your PhD came about by accident too? Everything, your PhD includes everything. So that must have come about by accident too. Why did you have to go to school and work so hard to get it? It came about by accident. They say the world's unreal with no foundation. There's nothing. What a basis for anxiety. Even you're sitting, it's really not a very good foundation. Why should you trust the floor? Put your hands down in case you fall in. Put a rope on the ceiling. Why trust that? They don't believe in any foundation. The earth is not a good foundation. Any moment an asteroid might crash into it and kill us all. So I have to dig deeper into the earth. But even that's not good because I get too hot there. We better take down an air conditioning. Everything they do, they don't believe in any foundation. They don't believe in Krishna controlling everything. Therefore, there's no limit to the amount of arrangements they have to make in order to feel safe for a moment. To the point where the demons, they're planning to kill most of the people because they're afraid. They're afraid they won't get their two chapatis because there'll be too many people in the future. So they're planning to kill everyone. And it's difficult to kill everyone. So they've been doing it for hundreds of years, trying to figure out how to eliminate the people from this earth. And they're still not very successful. No foundation, no God in control. Certainly there can't be a God. Because otherwise, if they're a God, then they can't be God. But that's why they came here. That's why we all came here. So it's unfair that there should be a God. Because otherwise, we've been wasting our time since time immemorial. And even if there's a God, then what we have to do is put an ostrich, his big body and little head. If an animal attacks it, then it puts its head into the ground and hides and says the animal's not there anymore. And so everything's all right. So we have to deny God's existence. Make sure they don't teach about God at the university. Don't write about him anything in the newspaper. If there's a religious person who speaks, the head of an institution, he has to claim that God is love, God is peace. So you don't think he's really a person that you're responsible to. They went around, they asked all these people at these big heads of the university, heads of these churches and mosques, who is God? And they said, God is love, God is peace. And they interviewed some devotees, but they wouldn't put in the documentary what the devotees said. It's too personal. And it's produced of sex desire. Therefore, the highest activity in the material world is sex, and everything should support it, because that's where everything has evolved to this wonderful civilization that we're living in, this pinnacle of existence, way past the Nathendermal, whatever the name of the Nathendermal? What was the name of that? Nathendermal, what?
Neanderthal.
Man, Cro-Magnon, man. We're at the pinnacle of civilization, all due to the magnificent sex life. Sex desire has produced so many wonderful living human beings. And what's the result? Etam drishtima vashtabhya nashtatmanona buddhaya pravanyuka karmana shaya jigatohita. Following such conclusions and loss of themselves, the demoniac create horrible and beneficial works meant to destroy the world. So if you want to see that practical, just read the newspaper. You want to see how the demoniac, because they've denied God what their product is, just read the newspaper. Or go on the internet for the news. It'll tell you all about it. And the second thing we're going to go over quickly, that to actually have full knowledge means that you can convey full knowledge. And a person with full knowledge, whatever he says is always linked back to Krishna. There's a complete link to Krishna. And those who have not completely linked to Krishna, they can repeat the knowledge coming from the pure devotee. And to some extent, it'll be linked with Krishna, as much as they've understood it, the links between Krishna. And Krishna will be present in whatever they're saying. And therefore, people will get full knowledge. Without Krishna being present in one's existence, in one's conversation, then everything is incomplete to the degree that one is not fully conscious of Krishna. And anyhow, Siksha Guru Ke Tajani, Krishna's Roop,
Antaryami Bhakti Shesta say Antaryami Bhakti Shesta say Guru was a Dewey Roop. Dewey means two. So Shiksha Guru, one is we receive knowledge from our Shiksha Gurus, those, because Shiksha means giving knowledge. And Shiksha Guru, Tajani, one should know, Krishnaras Rup is a manifestation of Krishna. So all of us, when we're performing devotional service, we're a manifestation of Krishna. To the extent that we're Krishna conscious, to that extent we can understand that, and to that extent we can act as an perfect instrument for Krishna and have the same potency as Krishna. Or it's actually Krishna's potency. It's not our potency. But we become aligned with Krishna's potency. Shiksha Guru Ke Tajani Krishnera Srup Antaryami, the Super Soul. So certainly the Super Soul is a representative of Krishna, because he is Krishna. Antaryami Guru Shastra, and the best of devotees, Adui Rup, they're both manifestations of Krishna. So there's two types of Shiksha Gurus, one who's fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness, and everything he sees is from the objective platform. He sees perfectly everything in relation to Krishna. He sees Krishna everywhere. And those who are not on the objective platform, who are following the person who's on the objective platform, the Bhakta Shrestha, the best of the devotees, so he can also have connection. He understands the connections to some degree, how things are connected to Krishna, and he can convey that knowledge to others and therefore help them make these connections too. And therefore makes progress towards Krishna, connecting things to Krishna, by understanding how Krishna is owner and controller of everything. Krishna is the enjoyer, Krishna is a friend, etc. But Prabhupada writes in the next point that the acharya, in the true sense of the term, who is authorized to deliver Krishna, enriches the disciple, the follower or the disciple? Disciple. With full transcendental knowledge, and thus awakens him to the activities of devotional service. So we have to keep our connection with the acharya, such as Srila Prabhupada, the Bhakti Shesta, because he has full transcendental knowledge, and by following his instructions and by trying to apply them, either directly from hearing from him and in the books or by hearing from his representatives who have experience in connecting with Krishna, then the result is that we can make progress towards full transcendental knowledge and thus awaken our activities to devotional service. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? So what did you understand from that Lalita Govindapuru?
People are very simple, so because they don't understand basic spiritual knowledge, that they are not these bodies. And they are spiritual souls, and if they are not connected with Krishna, they are doing everything completely wrong. So we mentioned that after the lecture, that then became demons, and they degrade themselves, and that's not the purpose of human life. Because we have now this human, how to say, potency, and we can develop higher consciousness. And now, in the end, you mentioned about how we can do this. To follow instructions of Srila Prabhupada and his disciples and gurus, like Diksha Gurus and Shiksha Gurus, and so we can help ourselves and help others to
Good, very nice.
Kunamadava? I think I will cover the pros and cons. Maybe that there's two types of gurus. One is completely self-realized and one is following a completely self-realized guru. So both are valuable.
Yes, yes, that's what Prabhupada writes. Okay, one other point is that if there's going to be any change in the world, it's not by this discovering who the Illuminatis are or whoever else, or by going out in the street and protesting or electing someone into office. The only way to elect someone into office that's going to make it a change is that the people who got elected, they have to shut down all the slaughterhouses, shut down all the brothels, shut down all the intoxication industry, shut down all the casinos, and get people to holidays to chant Hare Krishna and teach Krishna in the school. Otherwise, they're just wasting their time. Maybe there's some people, it's more or less the choice between wet stool and dry stool. They're just meant to fool people into thinking that they have a choice. Their only choice is either choose Krishna consciousness or go to hell. That's their choice, especially in Kali Yuga. Anyhow, that's why we have these marathons. So that's why we go and chant Hare Krishna and give out books and prasadam, so some people will actually have a choice. All right, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.